My name is Tamela McNabb. You're listening to Health Radio FM and Health and Wellness TV. I am sitting today with Brendan Brazier. He is the author of the Thrive Energy book. He's a former Ironman triathlete, a two-time Canadian 50K ultramarathon champion, the creator of award-winning line of whole food nutritional products called Vega, and the new cookbook, Brendan, I'm looking at it now, Thrive Energy Cookbook. Congratulations.
Thanks.
So tell me about your book. I've been told, I read from your agent, that it's the vegan cookbook for the non-vegetarian.
Right. The idea was to do a book that would appeal to a broad group of people, not just vegetarians, not just vegans. It is completely plant-based. There's no animal products used in it. But, I wanted it to be broadly appealing, And I think it worked out. I found an amazing food photographer, and I think the book looks good, so I think that's a big part of it.
It's a very good-looking book. Now, you have been are you a trainer and advisor to the NHL and to lots of different sports teams?
Yeah, so I work, I don't do their training. I work with their trainers sometimes, but I help them with nutrition, performance nutrition, so NFL, NHL, Major League Baseball, some UFC fighters as well. It's come quite a long way in the last few years. There's been quite a shift in people's willingness to try different ways of eating to boost performance.
Well, that's what I think I liked about your cookbook, is that it took me a while after reading it to realize that this was a vegetarian-type cookbook. I mean, you've presented it in a way that, and it's because you work with athletes, it really isn't just for athletes. I think that men and women who are considering eating better can look at your cookbook as a bit of a guidance to do that.
Right, that's the idea, is that there is an athlete-specific section in there that talks about pre-nutrition and post-workout nutrition, but I did want it to be very broad. Appeal to people who just really like good food and are interested in having recipes that are simple and easy to make and taste good.
Why plant-based? I mean, we hear vegetarian and, you know, don't eat meat, but you explain it in a way that makes a whole lot of sense.
Well, yeah, I've eaten that way since I've been 15. I'm 38 now, and I didn't jump into it wanting to be a vegetarian. I just wanted to be a better athlete, so I tried a whole bunch of different ways of eating, high carb, low carb, high protein, low protein, and then I eventually tried plant-based, and at first it didn't work for me. I was always hungry and tired, and the joke was I'd become a starchitarian, not a vegetarian,
right,
just eating all kinds of pasta and rice and things. But then as I transitioned, I learned more about nutrient density. And nutrient density, too, by the way, it's really just a ratio. It's the amount of nutrients, so vitamins, minerals, phytochemicals, antioxidants, in relation to the amount of calories. So the goal, of course, is to get as much nutrition while taking in the least number of calories. And, for example, kale scores very high because it's low in calories relative to the amount of nutrition, whereas pop would be very low because it's, you know, just basically calories with no nutrition.
So you hear people count calories all the time, but what you're saying is 1,000 calories of garbage versus 1,000 of nutrient dense make a world of difference.
Exactly. And high net gain nutrition is something I talk about in the book too, choosing to eat foods that take less energy to digest and assimilate. So instead of those refined, like pasta and other starchy refined foods, if you eat things like pseudograins, amaranth, quinoa, buckwheat, wild rice, or lentils, legumes, beans, or peas, those digest so much more easily if they're sprouted, even more so, but you can still cook them and get good digestibility out of that too. So you're spending less energy to digest and assimilate, but you get more nutrition in return. So less energy out, more nutrition in, and that's what we want.
I liked how you said eating with purpose and mindfulness. Talk about that a bit.
Yeah, just having an understanding of why it is that you're eating. You know, other than, of course, most people say, well, they're hungry, but what does each ingredient in whatever it is that you're eating do? And do they work synergistically together to boost the overall outcome of the food when you're looking at it from, you know, from an athletic point of view especially? You know, you want to eat certain things before a workout that you wouldn't eat after and vice versa.
So explain a pre-workout versus post.
So pre-workout, and it's going to differ based on what workout you're doing. So if you're doing a short, intense workout, you want mostly carbs, because carbs are fuel. So you want a simple carbohydrate source. So dates are great. They have glucose, which is simple, gets in your bloodstream right away. But if you combine that with something that's higher in fructose, like a pear or an apple or a banana, then you get more sustained as well. And if you put in some hemp, flax, or chia that has fiber, protein, and fat, that's going to slow the release a little bit, so you get more sustained energy. The longer your event is, or the longer your workout is, you're going to want to eat a little more fat and a little more protein. Because as you do, like if you go for a bike ride, when I was doing Ironman triathlon full-time, I would go for these long 5 and 6 hour bike rides at a low heart rate, so low intensity, to teach my body to metabolize fat efficiently. Mm-hmm. So when you do that, you've got to eat a little bit more fat, eat a little bit less carbohydrate, and a little more protein, because that's going to teach your body to burn fat efficiently. You don't want just carbs when you're not burning just carbs, when you're also burning fat. But if you don't take in enough protein, then your muscles can actually cannibalize, because your body is literally burning some muscle to keep you going forward. So you want to make sure you do get protein, and good sources are things like I was talking about, hemp protein, pea protein, rice protein, leafy greens. A lot of people don't know this, but they're 45 to 50% protein. Spirulina, chlorella, 65% protein.
Never knew that.
So yeah, you have a big enough salad each evening, you mix in some greens in your smoothie, and you'll get enough protein.
Tell us some good fats. I mean, we always hear fat is bad for us, so fat-free, fat-free. I'm a believer in good fats. Tell us about some good fats.
Yeah, I'm definitely a believer in good fats, too. So I think you want them to be raw for the most part. You don't want to be cooking a lot of the fats. So raw nuts as opposed to roast nuts is a good suggestion. I think also things like chia is really great. Hemp, flax, savvy seed. I don't know if some people don't know about savvy seed,
no, they don't,
but
it's
grown in South America. It's a seed. It looks like a nut. It looks like a macadamia nut, but it's very high in omega-3 fats.
I bought that for my daughter in a little bag, and there's some sort of a little sugar coating on them. Is that right?
Yeah, there's three different ones. There's one that's natural, and there's one that has some caramelized sugar on it, and another chocolate.
She loves it.
Chocolate.
They're good.
Good. Yeah, I think they taste really good as well. And they're high in omega-3 fats, as I mentioned, which is good for skin health, good for fat metabolism, good for brain development. And also, too, they're actually quite high in the amino acid tryptophan, which is a precursor to serotonin that helps improve mood and mental clarity. So that's, you know, obviously a good thing, too.
I have to remember that one.
Yeah.
that'll help me a lot. Do you focus on children in your diets? I mean, it's not a diet. It's a way of life. Mm-hmm. So how do you feel about kids following a vegan diet, and certainly kids that are athletic?
Yeah, I think it works really well. I have several friends who have young kids, and they found, you know, when they get on that, they see their energy level is more stable. They don't have these great ups and downs, and just more level-headed, more rational, less screaming, you know, can learn better, too. A lot of them have said that, you know, when they've really dialed their diet in, they find that they do better in school. They can pay attention. They can focus.
Yeah.
And they're not as hyper.
We, in my family, we're the smoothie family, and certainly there's blending machines now that can take broccoli and put it into our smoothies, and our kids are like, what's the green? I'm like, nothing.
Right.
It's broccoli. I think that, what's great is that you can put out, an array of items that are listed in your book and have the children make their own smoothies, and it's a great way for them to start your day. You're right. There's no spiking and dropping. They sleep better at night. Talk a bit about alkaline-forming foods. I think that people really don't understand what it means to be acidic and to be alkaline-balanced. Can you explain that a bit more?
Yeah, so alkaline-forming foods generally are the ones that are the least processed. And minerals are extremely alkaline-forming. So anything with a lot of minerals is going to be alkaline-forming. So vegetables, celery, tomatoes, anything green is going to be alkaline-forming. That's the pigment in, well, it's chlorophyll. It's what makes those vegetables green. And that's very alkaline-forming, too. So when you eat that, that helps, one, reduce inflammation. And that's huge. Like, even if you're not an athlete, just walking across the room, obviously you move your muscles. If they're less inflamed, you don't have to work as hard to move. You have more energy because you're not spending as much. And that's true triply for athletes. Like, that's just so important. If you can reduce inflammation, range of motion goes up, risk of injury goes down, efficiency goes up, and you become a better athlete in a really short amount of time.
And so elimination of biological debt, that was another one I wanted to touch on. Explain that a bit as well.
Yeah, so biological debt is something that I talk about in a few of my books, and it's really just a concept of stimulants as opposed to sustained energy. So, for example, eating sugary foods, drinking caffeine, is going to give you energy. Everyone knows that. It gives you energy right away, and it works. That's why coffee is so popular. It does work. It gives you energy. But it's through stimulation. It's not through nourishment. And it gets that through stimulating your adrenals that, in effect, it's like borrowing energy. You take energy that you don't actually have yet, and you use it now. But the problem is you have to pay it back. People are going to get more tired later because they've had this rush now. And what I try and do is help people look at it more holistically and reduce cortisol, the stress hormone, by eating nutrient-dense whole foods, which brings down cortisol. You sleep more deeply, you get in that deep delta phase of sleep. You wake up, you're fresh, you're rested. You don't crave coffee, you don't crave sugar, because you've treated the cause of the problem and not the symptom. And that's huge. That's sustainable, and that's long-term. So just naturally learning to get away from debt, biological debt, by being sustainable in what you eat.
I found it almost shocking, and if you knew me, you would find it shocking as well, because I'm a chocoholic, and I always like my little sweet treats. And so I've been following your program and eating a lot of the foods from your cookbook. And come Valentine's Day, I had a chocolate. I only had one, and it gave me a stomachache. That kind of freaked me out a little bit. Explain what's happening to my body now that I'm sort of following this particular diet.
Yeah, and that's actually a really good sign. So your body starts to change. It starts to physically actually change, and chemically too in your brain. You probably find that you enjoy healthier foods more the more you eat of them. Your palate will change. It will transition. And the great thing about that is you get to a point where you just crave really good healthy foods, and you will no longer crave junk food. So then, of course, you just eat whatever you want, but what you want to eat just happens to be really good food.
It was shocking, because I'm a total chocolate junkie. Brendan, we're going to now tell the people where they can get your book. I know that it's available in Canada. Is it available now in the U.S.?
So it'll be out in the U.S. March 4th, but you can pre-order in the U.S. on Amazon.com or Books A Million or Barnes & Noble, any one of those sites.
And what about overseas? We have a lot of overseas listeners to our radio show.
It's not being published outside of Canada or the U.S. just yet, but I believe they will have supply in the U.K., I'm told. But it's the same. It's the Canadian version that will be sold over there.
And I know your other book is in German as well?
Right. My first book, Thrive Diet, is now available in German in Germany. So, that came out a few months back. And my second book, called Whole Foods to Thrive, is being published in German right now, so that will be available in about a month.
Fantastic. Brendan, thank you very much for your time. Thanks for helping convert me into an almost vegetarian. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
I'm Tamina McNabb with Health Radio FM and Health and Wellness TV.